So today's Dhamma is the Punya Kiriyavattu, the 10 means of performing good deeds. Vattu is a thing or something, a substance. Kiriya, the performing or the action, and Punya. Punya means goodness. We've actually had the three Punya Kiriyavattu, we've already talked about them. But this is the 10 Punya Kiriyavattu. So Punya, just to recap, means goodness and is technically synonymous with the word Kusala. So something is Punya if it's Kusala. Kusala also means good, but more literally means something like being good at something. Whereas Punya is closer to the idea of goodness, that which is good, that which is pure. Literally means something like that which purifies the mind. Sandhanang puneti visodeti punyang. It's according to the commentary, it's that which purifies one's being, cleanses, purifies. This is punya. But it's used in a bit of a different way from kusala. Kusala is usually used to refer to the quality of one's actions. If something is kusala, it is free from akusala. So killing is a kusala, but abstaining from killing, the decision or the recoiling away from unwholesomeness, that's kusala, or the mind that is pure from any unwholesome intentions or qualities, that's kusala. Punya, on the other hand, is used usually to refer to active deeds of goodness. So this is the vattu part. Vattu is something of substance, something that you actually do, not just the quality of mind, though technically that's what's important, obviously. That's what makes it pure. That's what makes it good, is the quality of the mind. But these are the means by which we cultivate this purity. And so this is a really good list for practical purposes, something that in daily life, in worldly life, and as a Buddhist meditator in a meditation center, that we should always keep in mind as those things that we perform in order to help us to purify our minds. So the first three are the same as the three Punya Kiriyavattu, Dana, Sila, Bhavana. And these three Pali words should be well known, should be known and should be remembered by Buddhists. If you haven't heard these or if you haven't memorized these, this is a good motto or a good slogan to live by. Dana, Sila, Bhavana. Dana means charity. So the first means of performing goodness is giving. Giving gifts to others, giving charity to the poor, any kind of material gift or spiritual gift, any kind of giving. Of course, this is a good deed. This is the quintessential good deed, but it's good because of how it helps to purify the mind. It helps to free us from greed and stinginess. Helps to purify jealousy as well. And it's a great way to cultivate kindness, metta, friendliness, to cultivate this quality of wishing people well. Of course, when you give, and if you give for the right reasons, with the right quality of mind, it's a great way to cultivate friendliness. It's a great expression, of a material or a substantial expression of friendliness, as opposed to just wishing someone well. You actually prove it with your deeds. Deeds can be much more powerful than simple determination or asseveration when you actually put it into action. The same goes with like meditation. Meditation is an activity that we perform rather than just saying or trying to be mindful or saying that we will be mindful. The actual act of walking mindfully or sitting mindfully in the formal sense. So the same goes with giving or wishing well. Giving is a great expression, a great way to substantially express friendliness. So it's a purifying quality of mind, a purifying activity, an activity which cultivates purifying qualities of mind. Sila is the companion to dana. So sila means ethics. It's sort of the other side of charity. Charity is expressing goodness. Sila is expressing a desire for people to be free from suffering. So it helps us with compassion to avoid harming others. Sila means the dedication to abstaining from harm to others, killing, stealing, cheating, lying, any kind of harmful activity which is based on cruelty and is mostly related to the cultivation of anger. So killing and stealing, these are all, can be related to greed, but are most directly related to our cruel, the ability to be cruel, or the lack of compassion, the lack of empathy for others, the willingness to harm others, and the cruel states of mind. So our cultivation of ethics is a core part of our expression of goodness, our cultivation of goodness. When we engage in ethical behavior, we abstain from harming even the smallest animal. We abstain from stealing, from taking what isn't given, from cheating, from telling even the slightest lie. All of these things are harmful to others, and they express a ignorance or a lack of compassion, a lack of consideration for others. So the cultivation and the development of ethics, even in those who are inclined to harm and inclined to manipulate and hurt others, is a great way to change and to cultivate purity, because it forces you to consider others when you act, even though you want to take what isn't given. You refrain from it, reminding yourself that this is something that causes suffering for others, and is certainly a polluting activity, an activity that creates pollution in the mind and distorts and perverts one's own sense of right and wrong, and one's own understanding of reality. Ethics is the cornerstone, it's the beginning of the spiritual life, the straightening out of one's activities, one's actions and one's speech, as we've been over. This is much more related to kusala. So when the Buddha talked about kusala, he was mostly talking about abstaining from akusala, which is sila. And the third, of course, is bhavana. Bhavana means mental development, or as we know it, meditation. And cultivation of meditation is the cultivation, direct cultivation of pure and clear states of mind through the practice of tranquility, of calming the mind, and cultivating a focused and a stillness in the mind. And vipassana, the cultivation of clarity, of seeing things as they are, of removing the distortion and the veil of ignorance and the veil of delusion, the darkness that clouds our minds and gives us a distorted perception of reality. Obviously, this is the most direct way to cultivate punya, cultivate purity of mind. You're not relying on a roundabout means that include the actions that we perform to others. You're directly approaching and confronting the qualities of mind that are problematic. So as you pay attention to the mind and the workings of the mind, you start to see the greed and the anger and the delusion. You see the things that we're greedy about, the things that we're angry about, the things that we're deluded about. And through paying attention, through simply paying attention and giving dedication to the investigation into the nature of things, it's very simple, you know. There's not a lot of complexity to the cultivation of either tranquility or seeing clearly. And yet when you just pay attention, you obviously begin to see things more clearly. You get a better picture of how the mind works. If you have a good technique that allows you to pay attention to how the mind works, obviously you're going to see more clearly how the mind works. And this seeing clearly Or even the tranquility is the that which changes the mind. You don't have to control or force the mind to be good, to be ethical, to be pure. Just by paying attention, you stop making mistakes. You stop making the mistakes that lead to mental pollution, mental disturbance, mental upset, and mental suffering. So dana, sila, bhavana, these are the core means of cultivating goodness. The other seven, however, are not so commonly talked about and really valuable as practices occasionally or regularly. Now, if you could practice all 10 of these regularly, it would be a great support for your practice. So the other seven, number four, is apachayana, which means humility or bending down. Bending down to those who are worthy of your respect, to teachers, to parents, giving respect to those who are worthy of respect, having a sense of humility and a sense of reverence and respect for those who have good qualities and have valuable have given valuable support or who provide valuable support, appreciation for others. This is a very valuable quality of mind and something that is commonly found lacking in modern society, or I guess in any society, where young people or newcomers to any sphere often feel a sense of entitlement, a sense of equality, this sense of all humans being equal, or everyone is born equal, or that sort of thing. And that's a perfectly valid, I mean, it's a perfectly valid way of a valid decision, you know, in the sense that anyone can decide how they want to approach their relationships with others, but it misses so much of the truth of the situation. So it's not actually it can't ever be said to be the right way to look at things, because there are those who are kind and supportive to us, who have given us support and provide us with support, and those who have valuable qualities that we lack. And so there is a lack of equality, and those who have those qualities, those who we consider to be our teachers, even our parents, our elders, the ignorance and the lack of appreciation for those qualities, it's wrong, and it's a cultivation of unwholesome mind states. So a person who has this sort of arrogance and conceit, believing themselves to be equal to those who are there, in reality and objectively not equal to, obviously that's a great unwholesome state of mind. It's a distortion, it's a perversion. I mean, it disrupts the mind. Arrogance and conceit are not positive qualities. They don't bring peace of mind, they don't bring happiness, they certainly don't bring harmony, and they certainly don't encourage our elders, our seniors, those who are wiser and those who have valuable wisdom to impart. It doesn't incline them to a keen sense of desire to support us and to provide us and to give us what they have. Humility is an important quality in someone who wants to learn, a student. It's an important quality in a child towards their parents and towards their elders. In general, I mean, obviously there are extenuating circumstances in all situations, and you don't have to respect those who are not worthy of respect, but to ignore those who are worthy, the respect deserved by those who are worthy of respect is a real corruption and perversion of mind. I mean, it's a sign of a mind that is impure, a mind that has conceit and arrogance and an inflated sense of worth. So being careful about appreciating the good qualities of others, and it's not about comparing yourselves as being better or worse, but appreciating and respecting and being humble towards others is obviously a wholesome quality of mind. Number five is vayavacca, which means helping others. So vayavacca is distinct from giving to someone. It means helping someone to do good deeds. So when you give, when you do volunteer work, at any charity or that sort of thing. You're not giving material, you're giving your time. Volunteering at a monastery or a meditation center, helping other people to meditate is, of course, one of the best ways of this form of goodness. Obviously, this is something which brings one closer to the good causes that one is supporting, helping other people to come to meditate, helping out at a meditation center to support the running of the meditation center, those who work in a bureaucratic capacity, those who, like in our organization, those who sit on the board and make decisions and run the day-to-day affairs of the business, our treasurer, secretary, and our volunteers, and all the people who do the good deeds of making sure that the organization runs smoothly. Those who work here at the monastery locally, any kind of help or support that we provide to other people. Obviously, as a meditator, we're mostly concerned with our own practice, but still, in all cases, in all instances of our life, we can think of ways by which we can help those around us. Now, in the meditation center, we encourage the meditators to do some cleaning, some organizing, helping out after meals. This kind of thing may seem trivial, but is an important part, obviously, of maintaining the smooth running of an organization, and a great way to do a good deed, something that we should do with a sense of the goodness inherent in it. Number six is patidana. Patidana means giving a portion, giving a portion of the goodness that we perform. So every time we perform goodness, to dedicate it to others, the dedication of our good deeds to others. And it might seem that when you dedicate your goodness to others, that you're giving it away and you're losing something as a result, but actually the opposite is true. When you perform a good deed, the goodness is in the performance of the deed. When you then dedicate, say, may the goodness I have performed here be for the benefit for this person, that person, for these people, for all beings, etc., however you phrase it, is a second performance of goodness, because it's at that moment a generosity, a giving, a sort of a kindness, a gift that you give to others. It's a well wish. It's an instance of friendliness, an instance of kindness, of wishing other people well. And it's an extremely powerful form, because first of all, when you perform a truly good deed with a pure heart, with pure intentions, your mind becomes strong, your mind becomes confident, becomes very pure. And so the next moment of dedicating that goodness to others is incredibly powerful. I mean, the purity of it, the sincerity of it is quite powerful. So in terms of the cultivation of metta, the cultivation of friendliness and kindness, there's nothing better than doing it after performing a good deed and dedicating the goodness that you've cultivated, and dedicating that deed to others. So as meditators, we often do this. After practicing a round of meditation, we might take a moment or two to wish for our family and friends and loved ones and our enemies, and even for all beings in the monastery around us, in the country around us, in the world around us. May they all benefit from this good deed. This is something that is very, 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 it's intrinsic to the practice of most practicing Buddhists, that we not only perform good deeds for ourselves, but we also share the goodness with others and wish for it to be a benefit to others. It's a great way to dedicate your intentions as well, to purify your own intentions. What are you seeking out through this practice, through the practice of meditation, not only for my benefit, but obviously I wish for this to benefit those around me as well. And making that determination is a great way of performing goodness, just making that determination after you do the good deed. The next one is patanumodana, which is the pair to the previous one, where patidana means giving or dedicating goodness to others. Patanumodana means appreciating the goodness. So when someone else does a good deed, and you appreciate and respect and acknowledge the goodness of the deed that they have performed. This is another essential part of the practice of most Buddhists, is to appreciate the goodness of others. Obviously, this is a great way to overcome jealousy, a great way to overcome hostility, to look at and to find the good in other people and to appreciate, to think this person has performed a good deed and to express it. So we often will say anumodana. When we hear someone doing a good deed, we will say anumodami or anumodana. I appreciate, or appreciation for the good deed that you have performed. Number seven is dhammasavana. So we've talked about dhammasavana means listening to the Dhamma. We've talked about this before. There are many benefits to listening to the Dhamma. Obviously, you learn things that you haven't learned. The things you've learned already become clearer. You're able to free yourself from doubt. And most essentially, it's a way of performing goodness. Listening to the Dhamma requires patience, and it purifies our qualities of mind. It creates goodness in the mind. Dhamma Desana, number nine, is the teaching of the Dhamma. So there's a great goodness, obviously, it's a gift to teach the Dhamma, and this is a form of goodness in and of itself. But it's also a great way to bring you closer to the Dhamma. A person who teaches the Dhamma is obviously going to have a better understanding and a better appreciation of the Dhamma themselves. So this is something that as Buddhists we undertake. Many people are afraid to teach the Dhamma. They think of themselves as being unqualified. But any performance of sharing the Dhamma with others, any moment of expressing the Dhamma that you have learned, even in abbreviated form, this is what I have learned, this is what the Buddha taught, is such a valuable and priceless gift that you can give to others. It's a great way to support your own practice. Obviously, it brings you closer to the Dhamma, reminds you of the Dhamma, and keeps you inclined towards the practice of the Dhamma as well. Every time you teach the Dhamma, you're also expressing it for yourself to hear. You're part of the audience, as it were. And so hearing the Dhamma that you yourself are teaching can be a great way to practice the Dhamma. Listening to the Dhamma and teaching the Dhamma, though, in and of itself, as a experience, can be very valuable, because listening to the Dhamma, again, you have to be patient. Teaching the Dhamma, you also have to have a clear mind. If your mind becomes distracted or is polluted or so on, if you're not mindful during the time that you're teaching, it can be very difficult to get your point across and to have a clear expression of the Dhamma. And it helps you to see the defilements that are in the mind as you're teaching. If you're nervous about teaching, or if your mind is not focused, is not clear and intent on the activity of teaching. And the final form of cultivating goodness, again, this is a common running theme. This is dittujukamma, which means the straightening of one's views. And we've seen this in many of the recent lists relating to the purification of wrong view. So the dittujukamma, the action that straightens one's view. The Buddha said this is the pinnacle or the final of the forms of cultivating goodness. And so you can think of this as sort of the essence of right practice of all the other forms of goodness, because it's certainly possible to practice any of the others without any real goodness in one's mind. But through the purification of one's view, through the straightening of one's perception of things, all of these deeds can be performed, or will be performed, with a greater sense of purity. So it's not, this is why the Buddha didn't give a specific action. He just said action which involves the straightening, or the straight mind, or the straight view, the straightening of the view, or the straight view. So obviously there are specific actions that you can take to purify your view. Study is one way of purifying your view, in at least intellectually. If you listen to the Dhamma, if you hear the Dhamma or study the Dhamma in any capacity, this is a great way to at least begin to change your perspective on the world as you start to learn about the Four Noble Truths and learn about the nature of reality and where suffering comes from, not from external sources, but from our own attachment and desire and need for things to be in a certain way or that sort of thing. But more valuably and more directly, the actions of goodness that we perform are the means of straightening our view and should be seen as the straightening of our view. So when we give, why are we giving? With what intention are we giving? Are we giving out of pride, out of a sense of conceit, feeling like I am a good person, or look at me giving these good, giving, doing such a good deed to give charity to others, and so on. It's obviously a good a gift can be given with a polluted mind, and so essential to any performance of charity is doing it for the right reason, having a sense of why you're doing it. So I am giving as a gift and for the benefit of others, and also for the benefit of myself, for the purification of my own mind. This is the straightening of one's view in regards to giving, in regards to ethics, in regards to bhavana, in regards to helping others, in regards to sort of humility, helping others. Why are we giving gifts? When we express appreciation for others, expressing it as with a pure sense of this is a good deed, well, that's an expression of right view. When we acknowledge the goodness of that which is good, listening to the Dhamma, not listening with the wrong intention, listening to find criticism, or listening as a performance, listening with a sincere desire to take the teachings and put them into practice. And these kinds of things. So Ditujju Kamma is really the essence, again, of the Buddhist teaching, as we've talked about before. This is what it means to be a Buddhist, is to straighten your view and to change your perspective, to come closer to an understanding of the true nature of reality. So these are the Punya Kriya Vatu, 10 ways of performing goodness. Not, I guess, an exhaustive list, but practically speaking, pretty exhaustive. I mean, it catches all of the various ways in which we cultivate goodness as Buddhists, and it's a great practical list for us to keep in mind and to put into practice. And it can be seen as a way of describing our life, our way of life as Buddhist practitioners. So that's the Dhamma for today. Thank you for listening.